open your notes. Inside the, I have the course outline. I've kind of mentioned this to you. Basically, I've divided the course into three parts. I'm going to keep the outline the same. And if you've had this class before, I am going to inject some newer material on occasion. Not the majority of it, because I think the principles are biblical principles, so there's really not a need to change those. But I'm going to try to insert some additional material when needed. But three ideas here. Number one is the idea of instruction. That is teaching your children. The second section will be correction. That is disciplining your children, which is also teaching, by the way. It's just the negative, pardon the pun, but the backdoor way of teaching, and that's correcting. So instructing them, correcting them, and then thirdly is conversion. That is evangelizing them, sharing the gospel with them, telling them how to have eternal life. And what you're going to see is that I believe the Bible teaches that both instructing them and correcting them are the tracks that we run on to evangelize them. So don't, you can divide these up for the class, but don't divide them up in your parenting mindset. They're all part of the same thing. When we are disciplining our children, we should be teaching them and evangelizing them. It all happens together. Or I've used this expression, one of those ski machines, Nordic Track. You can tell how familiar I am with exercise equipment. You're always working in both directions, teaching, instructing, correcting, instructing, correcting, instructing, and those are tools of evangelism. So that's kind of the track we're going to run on there in the pattern. We'll get into the subpoints later. Look on the next page. Let me just ask a question. I'm also going to try to have more discussion during this class, and I always want to do that. The only enemy to that is time, because we've got to get through these notes, and we often run out of time. And I want to let you out at 7:30 so you can go get your kids. So Versi remains my friend down there in the children's wing. What do you think is the goal of parenting? It's a very broad question, and very broad question. What do you think is the goal of parenting, or what's your own personal goal? To lead our kids to Christ.
To raise disciples so they can lead others.
To lead them to Christ, to raise disciples. And you added so they can lead others. Anything else? Huh?
To glorify God.
To glorify God. Anything else?
I believe if we didn't say to be successful, we would be biased. We want our children to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are you saying that's a right or wrong goal?
I don't think that's the end all, but I think that's every parent, what's one of their goals?
Sure.
To raise successful children. Yep.
It would depend on how you define success, wouldn't it?
Right.
We're not talking money or dollar signs. Paul says in Colossians, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So if our children work a trade with their hands, they need to do it to the glory of the Lord. If they become doctors, they need to do it to the glory of the Lord, whatever kind of work they do. Okay, good.
Maybe just
have you thought about this question before I asked it? Have you ever kind of just sat and thought, hopefully on more than one occasion, what's my goal here? What am I trying to accomplish? There's going to be times when the goal is survival. Survival. Sleep. Okay, that's goal number one right now. Sleep. Sanity. When you have a little newborn, obviously. But those are short-term, temporary goals. But we need to be thinking about what our goal is as parents, what we're trying to accomplish. And I would say if we do the textbook catechism answer, the goal of anything for a believer is to glorify God. And the number one way we can do that would be to, of course, bring our children to Christ, to lead them to Christ, to train them to be disciple makers. And so lots of good goals that you guys gave, some accomplishments you want to think about as well. None of you really mentioned anything about yourselves. None of you really mentioned anything about yourselves. And I want you to be thinking about yourself, not in a selfish, sinful, selfish way, but in this regard. Look at your notes on page 3 there. This is what I think is one of the most important statements in this class. That is this: this class is not for your child. This class is for you. This class is for you. One of the reasons your children are given to you by God, among some of the goals you just mentioned, but one of the reasons your children are given to you by God is for your sanctification. Sanctification. And sanctification, I don't want to assume anything from anyone, but sanctification is simply that process by which God makes believers more like His Son. It's not becoming a Christian. It's if you are a Christian, God sanctifies you daily. He's day by day, moment by moment, child by child, making you more and more like His Son. And He uses many, many tools. There are many means by which God sanctifies us, and your children are one primary means. They will reveal your sin. They're going to do that. They're not going to make you sin. What the Lord's going to do is reveal the sin that's already in you. We'll talk about that later. So this class is not for your child. I'm not trying to make your children better children. I'm wanting the Lord to make you a better person, and therefore a better parent, a stronger Christian. A couple of quotes here. Really, this entire section is just, or this entire course is just me culling together books that I've read, people that I've talked to over the years, sermons that I've listened to. Most of these books are in this bookstore behind me, and I'm just pulling all this together. There's very little original material here. If there is, I won't tell you. I'll just kind of mix it all together, but I'll try to quote people that I specifically quote word for word. But the following 4 points were taken from John MacArthur's book called Successful Christian Parenting. And again, just to help you think about your own desires here. Do you thirst for God, he asked, as the deer pants after the water? Or is your own life sending your children a message of hypocrisy and spiritual indifference? Is your own commitment to Christ what you hope to see in your children's lives? If you're saying, oh my word, I hope not. Well, all of us could say that to a point. Obviously, I want my child to be more godly than I am. But if he was or she was as godly as me, if they had the same commitment to Christ, would that concern me, or would that be okay? Is your obedience to His Word the same kind of submission you long to see from your own kids? Is your obedience to His Word the same kind of submission you long to see from your own kids? Listen, it is very easy, I do it almost daily, to live my Christian life vicariously through my children. Well, I may not be disciplined enough to read my Bible every day, but buddy, you better. Girls, you better do that. Have you read your Bible? Have you done this? Are you talking kindly to someone? Are you being unselfish? Yeah, it's easy for me to live out my life through them. That's not the point. I need to practice the same kind of patterns that I expect from them. For many parents, the first step toward getting back on track must be a fresh commitment to the things of God for themselves. For themselves. Please do not come every Wednesday night, sit through the class, fill in the blanks, go home, and think your kids are going to get better. You've got to work at this. If you're a believer, you've got to discipline yourself unto godliness. If you're not a believer, then the first thing you need to do is become a believer. Come to Christ. Put your trust in Him. Let Him save you, give you a new heart so that you can then become a disciple and then raise your children as disciple makers. So this class is not for your child. This class is for you. I was reading a book, Dangerous Calling, which is a book for pastors. And I read this section, these bullet points, and as I was reading them, I thought, wow, these make perfect sense for parents as well. So what I've done is I've exchanged the word pastoring to the word parenting. That's all I've done. I've just borrowed Paul Tripp's words here, and I've exchanged parenting or pastoring for parenting. Listen to this from Dangerous Calling. There are a few things that will reveal to you the full range of your sin, your immaturity, your weakness, and your failure like parenting will. There are few things that will expose your weakness to others as consistently as parenting does. There are few endeavors that will put you under public expectancy and scrutiny like parenting does. There are few things that are as personally humbling as parenting is. Jack and I were talking before class, and I've heard him say this, and I've said this before. We can't take credit for anything good our children do, and we can't always take the blame for anything bad they do necessarily. It's a humbling thing. When they do something that honors the Lord, it's humbling. We can't take credit for it. When we see our sin in our children, that's humbling. We can take credit for that. There are few endeavors that have the power to produce in you such deep feelings of inadequacy as parenting does. You are inadequate. Let me just go ahead and tell you, okay? This is not a self-esteem class. You are inadequate. I am inadequate. But by the grace of God, we can do what we need to do to parent our children. That's the hope in this. There are few things that can be such a vat of self-doubt as parenting is. Again, the Rose have sent two boys out of the house. Okay, they're looking around. Yeah, they're the only two that have children out of the home. I have a couple of years left and I'm going to send one out of the home. That's full of doubt. I'm wondering, have I done enough? Did I tell him the right thing? Did I train him right? Does he have everything he needs to know? Parenting will do that. In your parenting last week, there is a great temptation to be sidetracked and harmed by your fear of you. By your fear of you or your fear of self. Once again, you're going to say to yourself, I can't do this. I'm inadequate. I'm a sinner. I can't ask my child to do this because I'm not doing that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You are inadequate, but with Christ, all things are possible. He is our sufficiency, even in parenting. So we need to realize these things, but don't let them cripple us. Let them humble us and make us aware. One of my good friends and a dear, dear friend and pastor to Anita and I for the 12 years before we came to Celtis was Todd Murray. He's now in Florida as the family pastor of Grace Emmanuel Bible Church. And I've listened through his parenting course, and he said a few things, just introductory things that I thought were so, so valuable that I just went through and listened and transcribed them and put them in our notes. And I think this is incredible. If these first two sections kind of humbled us and made us really think, okay, I've really got to buckle down and tend to my own heart and my own soul as I'm tending to my children's, let these few things comfort you, and I hope that you see the Lord smile on you as a parent here. He said this, he just reminded us that parenting was not designed by God to reinforce the things about you that you think are good. Parenting is not designed to reinforce the things about you that you think are good, but rather to point out to you the truth about what your own heart is really like. As I mentioned beginning, this class is not for you, not for your child. This class is for you to reveal your own heart. So, by the way, think about that. The next time you're angry with your child, think about what is it in my heart that the Lord is revealing to me that's causing this anger. We're going to get into James 4 later, but what causes fights and quarrels among you? Is it not this, the evil desires that are in you, within you? This is the Lord using your children to bring out your own sin and to show you what your heart is really like. Now, but listen to this. Number two, what sweeter tool, could God use to make me more like Christ than my own children? You get that? What sweeter tool could God use to make me more like Christ than my own children? There is no sweeter tool. There is no sweeter tool, because your children will put their hand in yours. They will forgive you. They will smile at you and love you, and they'll be a blessing to you. The tools that God uses to make you more like His Son are your children. There is no sweeter tool. Number three, He says, what is your favorite thing to do? Is it to be a dad? Is it to be a mom? And then He asks a stinging question. Would people know that by visiting your home for a day or two? Or would they think that your children are a constant interruption or an inconvenience? And I can tell by the way people talk, because I've done it. He says, next point, we can choose to say, my children are in the way of what I want to do. Is that how you usually talk? My children are in the way of what I want to do? Or, I have decided that my children are what I want to do. My children are what I want to do. Can you think of anything better to do with the rest of your life and energy than raise your children? Listen, I'm guilty of this, was really guilty of this as they were younger. And I know the younger they are, the harder it is. But when we had four children, again, Anita carried most of the weight being at home with them. Most of the time we had, you know, two in diapers, so two that were very dependent, two that were learning to be more independent. And I would catch myself making, not calling my kids a burden, but making excuses because of my children. The height of this ludicrousy hit me one Christmas when, again, my children were probably six or seven and younger. So 7, 5, 3, and 1, they're about 2 years apart. My grandmother, when she was still living, couldn't get out much, so she gave me money to buy my four kids each a Christmas gift. And she said, buy them a gift, something they would want, wrap it and bring it to our family Christmas and let them open it so I can see them. And, of course, I was glad to do that because she couldn't get out like she could. So she gave me the money to buy the kids Christmas gifts. When we arrived at their home for Christmas, I don't know if you remember this or not, I walk in, my kids come in, I say, hi, Merry Christmas, everybody. And once we get in, my mama realizes we're in and settled. She says, where are the kids' gifts? And it dawns on me that I forgot to buy their Christmas gifts. And she had given the money weeks ago, if not months ago. I said, mama, I forgot to buy their gifts. And she said, how could you forget to buy their gifts? I said, mama, look, I've got four kids. You know, I'm busy. So I blame my kids on me forgetting about my kids. That is me treating my children as an inconvenience, as an interruption to life. It was not my kids' fault that I forgot to buy their gifts. It was my fault because I'm an idiot. They're not interrupting my life. Next to the last point there. They are not interrupting their life. However, let me correct another false view. They are not my life. They are not my life. That's not double talk. They're not interrupting my life, but they're also not my life. A lot of parents' lives revolve around their children, and we're going to learn that that's not healthy. They're my number one mission field. They're my number one ministry. I am the pastor of my little church in my home. But they are not my life. My, for one, my wife takes priority over my children. I'm going to be married to her a lot longer than my children are going to be in the house. Hopefully my children won't be in the house. So they're not my life. Last thing he says, he asks this question, why am I so incensed and shocked by my children's sin? I've met their parents. I've met their parents. And that's true. Our children get our sin nature from us, just like we got it from our father, Adam. I always like to mention these disclaimers before this. Here's my qualifications for teaching this class. Number one, I am a parent. Number two, I'm a sinner. Okay? So we all have the same qualifications, right? I'm no more qualified than you. I may have more experience with some children, but again, some of you have more experience than me as far as age of your children. So my qualifications, I'm a parent and I'm a sinner. My anecdotes, I'm going to try to share stories about our parenting, and I'm going to tell you some of them are going to make me look good, or better, rather. Some of them are going to make me look better and worse than I am. If I tell a story when my child does something right, don't think, wow, he's got it all figured out, because I'm going to try to tell as many stories about, I just started with one, about when I blew it. Anytime I've been in a parenting class, I've sat under Dr. Ted Tripp before when he taught Shepherding a Child's Heart, and I heard his stories, and he would tell good and bad stories, and I always thought, wow, I wish I could be a parent like him, but he has his share of mistakes as well. My illustrations. Occasionally, I may mention seeing children or just mention parents in general, or here's what I'm seeing trending. You may be wondering, is he talking about me? Because your children are here and I teach them every week. Yes, I am. And no, I'm not. And I don't know which is which. So I may be, I may not be. My examples. My examples, and I'm going to try to differentiate these two, but recognize the difference between God's rules and house rules. God's rules and house rules. I'm going to mention some things that maybe our family does, and I'll try to say now, this, I don't think this is a sin issue, but this is just something we do in our house. So don't think, well, oh, my kids do that, so we must be sinning. No, not at all. I may say something like, I think this is a clear-cut sin issue. And I don't think we should be doing it. Or I may say, you know what, this is something our family chooses to do. It's not a sin issue. It's just a preference issue. So just see the difference. Now, you know, we have rules because our children are older, spending the night rules. We have a rule in our home that I've dealt with twice this week. Just for safety, again, this is not a sin issue. This is just a preference issue, that we don't let our daughters spend the night with friends who have teenage brothers. Okay, that's just kind of our rule, just for protection. Our children are more exposed to things today than they were when you and I were growing up. And I knew what me and my buddies, you know, talked about when we were growing up. So that's just a rule we have. And it's not because I distrust certain boys. And to be fair and to play even on both sides, we don't let them have girlfriends over when AJ is home. Even though I trust my son. I have no concerns about my son. But if I'm going to require this of one way, I need to be fair and require it the other way. That's a house rule. That's a preference rule. If you don't do that, you're not a worse parent than I am. That's a house rule. But then there are other rules. We don't allow complaining in our home. Okay, I'm not saying it never happens. I'm saying we don't allow it. Okay, it's a sin issue because the Bible says do everything without complaining. That's a God rule. That's a biblical mandate. So I'm going to mention the difference between some of those. If I ever say something or share a story, and you say, are you saying that if we do this, that's wrong or that's sin? Please ask me and I'll clarify that, because I don't ever want to create some Pharisaical rules for you guys. Next section is homework. Yes, we're going to have homework in this class. As I mentioned a moment ago, if you simply show up each week, you will not benefit fully from this class. So here's what I want you to do for homework over the next 12 weeks. Number one, pray and confess a lot. Pray and confess a lot. Some of you, I don't know who, But some of you need to go home tonight, confess to the Lord, and confess to your children. Sit them down, look them in the eyes, and say, sweetheart, buddy, you know what? Mom and Dad haven't been doing this right. We made a lot of mistakes. We need to confess that to you. We need to ask you to forgive us. We're going to make more mistakes, but we're committed by God's grace to doing things differently. We want to do things the way the Lord tells us to do things. And just confess that to them. I've never confessed a sin to my child and my child turn around for me or say, too bad, so sad, you're on your own. No, 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 no. They're that sweet tool of sanctification that's going to look and say, Daddy, I forgive you. Mommy, I forgive you. And they're going to hug your neck and they're going to be over it far quicker than you or I are. So we need to pray and confess a lot. Number two, don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try and to fail. That's number two. Our first section is going to be on how to teach your children. And there'll be a very practical section on how do I teach them in the home? How do I have Bible time in my home? And it's going to be awkward if you've never done it. If you take out your Bible after dinner or before bedtime and say, we're going to read a Bible story, your kids may say, we don't want to, or they may fall asleep in their mashed potatoes, and you're going to fail, but keep trying. So don't be afraid to try and to fail. Number three, I want you also to read, there's two number threes. Skip that first number three. The second number three, relax. Relax your trying. Now, I just said don't be afraid to try, but now I'm going to say relax your trying. Don't try to overdo it. When I say go home and confess to your children tonight, I'm not saying go home and fix everything tonight, because you're not going to do that. Relax your trying. And I always say this right up front, relax your tone. Your trying and your tone, T-O-N-E, tone.
What do you mean by that?
I'm glad you asked, John. I think, and I'm talking about a lot of people here, including myself. I could safely say I don't scream at my children. But I cannot say I do not speak with my children with a harsh tone. And that's basically the same thing. Either it's got an edge or it's got volume, same thing. I think one of the biggest problems with our parenting is the way we talk to our kids, the tone of voice. And it could be, of course, the volume, but even the tone. And I hear a lot of parents here in this room, in these halls, in these buildings, talking to their children harshly with mean and angry tones when the kids have done nothing wrong. And so relax your tone. We're going to spend a lot of time on that over these 12 weeks. It's going to come up over and over again like a squeaky wheel. Number four, memorize. In the back of your notebook is an orange piece of cardstock. I have made this so easy for you because I'm such a practical, easy teacher. I have given you 8 verses from which to choose. If you want extra credit, there's no such thing, you can memorize all 8. But I'm just asking you to memorize one. Just one verse in 12 weeks. And you can pick the shortest one on here. But these are all verses that are going to come up time and again in our parenting course. I love Proverbs 16, 21 and 24, because I just talked about our tone. I still have this one on an index card on my dashboard, and it's somewhat in my head. It's not all the way in my heart. Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. You want to know why your children don't respond to you the way you want them to? Because you're yelling at them, and you're speaking angrily to them. Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. A sweet verse, a very, very sweet passage. So I want you to commit. If you want, as a husband and wife, you want to commit to one together, fine, drill each other, have your Bible drills, or individually. And I may ask you at any particular Wednesday night, hey, how's it going on your memory verse? And call you out and have you recite it as best you can. You will not lose points if you haven't got your verse memorized, because there are no such things as points. All right, so memorize is number four. Number five, read. I hope that you'll go back over, reread the notes and the scriptures in here. I put a lot of Bible verses in here because this is a biblical parenting class. This is not psychology, sociology, or anything else of that nature. This is Bible parenting. But we won't have time to read every single verse, but I've printed them and referenced them. So go back over, read the notes. Number two, I want you to read the supplemental articles that I've given you. I should be giving you supplemental articles every week, and I'll have them insert. I'll have you insert them in your notebook. Today I've given you two. One of them is called Four Ways to Reach a Child's Heart. This is by Richard Phillips. If you were here 2 years ago, we read Phillips' book called The Masculine Mandate. And this is an article by him where he just breaks it down and says, here's four things you can do with your children. Read, pray, work, play. Read, pray, work, play. It's not rocket science. It's a great little article there. And then the second one, it's purple in your notebook or lavender. Parenting is first about my sin. Please read that because that reiterates that first page of notes that we talked about. In fact, if you'll flip to the back page of that lavender article in the back of your notebook. Back page under that section, More Important Than Parenting. Last paragraph, next to last paragraph. To put it positively, he says, he's quoting Jim and Lynn Jackson. I don't know who they are. They say the parenting journey provides one of life's greatest opportunities for spiritual growth. Even more important than the work God is doing through us in parenting is the work He is doing in us while we are parenting. Even more, the work He is doing in us in this season of life is vital to our being a vessel of His work for our children. You have got to see your children as the primary means by which God is making you more like His Son. You've got to see that or you're going to miss the whole point of parenting. So read these articles. And number three, or letter C there under read, I want you to read, either individually or as a couple, if you're here with your spouse, I want you to read one parenting book this summer. Now, you're welcome to read more, but I want you to read at least one. You can pick a small one if you want to. We have little ones, okay? And we have larger ones. But I want you to read one this summer. Just pace yourself out, divide the chapters by weeks, or read a chapter a week. And I may just ask you on occasion, you know, how's your reading going, or what are you reading? I would prefer you get something that we sell in here because I trust it. Or if you see a title here and you've already got it at home or you want to order it off Amazon, that's fine as well. But I trust these titles. Again, this one here, Shepherding a Child's Heart, is one of the best. It's really one of the best. And this has shaped Anita and I's parenting so much over the years when our children were younger and even today, because it's going to do the same thing we're going to do in this class, and that is get to the heart issues of our children, not just behavior issues. So I strongly recommend this book. This is a short book on family worship, just on how to have family worship by Don Whitney. We're going to talk about that in here. If you have younger children, here's Beyond Bath Time. Aaron Davis, this was featured during our women's conference on the table, so I bought a few of those extra. Here is kind of the mom version of this one. It's just a little smaller, a little bit easier to read. Don't Make Me Count to Three. Again, she's dealing with the same thing. Address the heart issue of your child, not just their behavior. If all you're doing is changing your child's behavior, you're creating a little Pharisee, a little legalist. So you want to address heart issues. If you have teenagers or 12, 13-year-old, you're going into teenager territory, these two books are helpful. And Ian and I started one of these, and he talks a lot about the way we speak to our children, our teenagers, to keep them from shutting down. He uses the Proverbs for that. So here's two good books on that as well. This is like part two of Shepherding a Child's Heart. So if you have smaller children, this, if they are going into the teenage years, maybe this one as well. But I'd still say read Shepherding a Child's Heart. So a parenting book, not a Bible storybook for your kids. I want you to read something for yourself over the summer. And maybe you just read it in the evenings, or again, you can each pick your own. I just got this, ordered a bunch. If you have little ones, My Toddler Rules the House. I'm about halfway through this. I don't have toddlers, but excellent, excellent book. And here's the thing about these resources that we put in here. They're all saying the same thing. So you're not going to get four or five different parenting methods, because there's really only one. Address heart issues with the Bible by God's grace. And so this is a little booklet. I'd hate for you to count this as a book, but if you've never read a book in your life and you say, I hate to read, then you can count this as your book, Shaq, if you want to do that. Okay.
I was going
to
get the audio.
If you want to do an audio book, sure, you could do an audio book. But I want you to read something else. Listen, I learned parenting from two sources, from other parents and from books, which were written by other parents. And most of the men that have written these books are pastors. So they're pastor parents. And most of these books are simply them preaching Bible verses to us as parents. Expositional preaching, what Pastor Mark and all of us do here at Celtis, in a book form. That's what these books do. If there is some book on how to have a good kid by Friday, and I'm sure there is, I'm not sure why they market it that way, but you're not going to have a good kid by Friday. Okay? These books will all say the same thing, but they're going to address different age groups, different seasons of life. So I trust these books. I've read many of them and have a bookshelf full of them. I was just looking at them today and yesterday, pulling some of them off, seeing some of my highlights. And, I mean, when I was you guys' age, when we had the brand-new baby, even before AJ was born, no, it was right after he was born, I took a family worship class. And, you know, he was still in diapers and still feeding them and didn't do anything, just lay there and eat and poop. And I wanted as much as I could get. I want every class on parenting. I want to read every book on parenting because I don't know how to do this. And I can't do this aside from the grace of God and the influence of godly parents and pastors. And so that's what all this is. I'm just throwing things at you, more than you'll have, more than enough, and say, just take one of them and read it. And sit through the class and listen. And I hope that you'll leave equipped and ready and confident and scared to be a godly parent, to glorify the Lord in your parenting, and to raise your children to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. I just mentioned to you a moment ago that not long ago, it dawned on me that I had four more years with my son, my oldest child, in the house. Four more years, and he was going to be gone. Just the other day, I thought about that. And I say just the other day because today I just realized, wait, that was 2 years ago that it dawned on me I have 4 years. Now I have 2 years left. 2 years left. Now, are there things I'm wondering, did I teach him? Are there still things left I need to teach him? Absolutely. But I can, by God's grace, say at least I've consistently spent time teaching him and training him, sinning in front of him, repenting to him, forgiving him forgiving me. We've done that. And so I'm not scrambling around in these last 2 years trying to cram for a final that I never studied for. Am I trying to maximize these 2 years? Absolutely. But I'm not cramming. Don't wait till your child's about to graduate. Okay? Don't wait. Start now. And what we're going to see is consistency in all of these principles that we learn. Consistency is going to be the key. Lower your tone. Be consistent. Do what you're going to say. And love your children to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together.